Take your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 12. I'm going to talk a little bit about the battle we're in today and how we get the victory in this battle. There's a battle for the men's souls today in our culture, a battle for the hearts of men, a war of wills and a war of words and division, political differences, religious differences, cultural battles. But you know, the great battle, of course, is for the souls of men, and the devil is in it. He's in it to steal your soul from the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil does not want you to get saved. He's big and working, using the culture to work against the hearts of men. He'll turn the hearts of men to him, away from the Lord. He's against God. He's against the Lord's church, against Jesus Christ. He is the Antichrist. He is against everything that the Word of God stands for. And he wants to keep you out of the battle this morning. And first of all, he wants to keep you from finding Jesus Christ. The devil knows of the simplicity of Christ, and he wants to complicate it so much that you'll never come to Christ. He'll use many religionists today to make salvation seem so far away, so complicated, and he'll obfuscate that simplicity of Christ to the point where folks won't get saved. He'll put things into your heart. You say, well, where do you get that? Well, the Bible says, who was it, Ananias? And Sapphira, he said, why has Satan, or was that Achan? I forget, but he said, why has Satan filled thine heart? Who filled the heart? Satan did. Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? And that's what happens. He'll put things in your heart, and he'll take things out of your heart. God will be working on you. The Holy Spirit of God will work on you. You'll hear the preaching of the Word of God. And the Bible says, a man heareth the word, and along come the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. That's the devil that does that. He's against you this morning. But we want to talk about the simplicity of Christ this morning. And it all takes the blood of Jesus Christ. Religion isn't going to reconcile you to God. Religionists have tried that. Every religion in the world, whether it's Christian or Muslim or Confucius, whatever, they're trying to impress God by their good works. And all but biblical Christianity will try to bypass God's plan of salvation and come up with their own. You can't do that. The Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And it's a battle that the natural man is ill-equipped to handle. The natural man, the flesh, is not equipped to handle Satan and his power. You say, well, I've got a pretty strong will, preacher. Yeah, do you? How about Adam and Eve? They didn't have the fallen nature, and yet the devil was too slick for them. They couldn't handle him without the fallen nature. What shot do you have at it with the fallen nature? Oh, you can do a lot of what the world calls good things. You can do a lot of things. You can join all kinds of groups, religious circles, surround yourself with religion, and think that by your fervor and your religious zeal that you will attain to heaven. But the natural man can't do that. That's why the Lord told Nicodemus over in John 3, you must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It takes the new birth, and the only way that you appropriate that new birth is through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You've got to trust in him. It's not your good works that get you to heaven, it's the works of your precious Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Over here in Exodus 12, in verse 7, we'll see the story about the application of the blood. The death angel was going to pass over Egypt and was going to kill all the firstborn. And the Lord told him what to do here to make it so that death angel would pass over those where the blood was applied. I guess the challenge today is has the blood been applied to your life? Have you gone one-on-one with Jesus Christ, admitted that you're a sinner, and gone to Christ and ask him to be merciful to you, a sinner? Recognize that he is the Lord. He's the Lord God. He's God manifest in the flesh, the visible image of the invisible God. My. Exodus 12:7, and they shall take the blood. Here it is. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses. Then in verse 12, he says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now, one of the ploys of the devil in this age is to use religious scholarship to remove the blood from many of the verses. All these new Bible versions, New Age Bible versions, they take a great interest in removing the blood from many passages. Many of today's modern hymnals and songbooks are careful to remove the blood even from the songbooks. You got to be careful with that business there. God is not in that business. Remember Cain and Abel? Cain brought all of his works, all his fruit stand righteousness, trying to impress God. Said, God's going to be impressed with all that I've done for him. And God had not respect to Cain's offering, but Abel brought a little lamb, a bloody little lamb, offered it unto the Lord. See, Cain was trying to impress God. Abel simply wanted to please God. A picture of the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Hey, the power is still in the blood. It's that sinless, spotless, undefiled blood of Jesus Christ that is on the mercy seat in heaven that gives us access to God. It gives us forgiveness of sin. And the blood of Christ does not just cover the sins as the blood of bulls and goats did in the Old Testament, but rather, when Jesus died on the cross, he made a payment in full for all your sins and all my sins. We just have to apply that payment. The blood must be applied. Payment in full applied to every seeking sinner who comes to Jesus Christ by faith this morning. It's the blood that redeems us. Over in 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious, Brother Phil talked about that precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You know, and the devil wants to keep you from that simplicity of Christ. We think it's something that we do, that we accomplish. No, it's already been accomplished for us in the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. Now, if the devil can keep you bogged down, that it also saves you from that blood is from all the guilt and shame of your sin. But if the devil can keep you bogged down with feeling guilty about every stupid, sinful thing you've done and keep you out of the battle for the Lord, he'll do it. He'll do everything in his power to keep you bogged down. He'll put you on a guilt trip. That's why the mental health institutions are so filled with religious people today, because they're taught that they can work their way to heaven. They can earn their way to heaven by being good. And then they find out that they can't do it. They find out, if I'm supposed to be a Christian now, why have I sinned? Why? Because the flesh has not been redeemed yet, and the devil's there to keep you from serving God. The devil's there to keep you from finding God, first of all, and then to keep you out of the battle for God. He'll keep you bogged down with all that guilt and shame, and it'll drive you crazy. That's why the devil works. That's how he works. He'll keep you bogged down with guilt. Well, you know, without the blood, there's no remission of sins. But let's go back to the guilt. You know what the Bible says about your guilt this morning? It says in Hebrews 9:14, and you need to remember this verse, because it'll take that guilt away from you and put it in its rightful place, Jesus Christ and his sacrificial work on Calvary's cross. It says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. One of the great themes in our addictions program, our recovery program, is the fact that you need to get over your guilt. And whenever you hold on to that guilt, whenever you hold on to the shame of the things you've done, it's like accusing Jesus Christ that what he did on the cross was just not quite enough to pay for what you did. But it was. The only reason I pastored this church, because I came into it with a clear conscience because of Christ. Because of Christ. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there would be no remission. Acts 20:28 says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God. Watch it, which he hath purchased with his own blood. It says, ye are bought with a price. We've been redeemed. We've been redeemed. Somebody paid my debt in full. And I don't owe anything except my allegiance and my love and my appreciation and my eternal gratitude to the one who loved me first enough to pay my debt that I couldn't pay. Hey, it's the blood of Christ that sanctifies us, sets us apart. God wants to set you apart for his service and for his glory, for to magnify him. Hebrews 13:12 says, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people, how? With his own blood. There it is again. He suffered without the gate. It was only the blood of Christ that was able to appease the wrath of God against sinners. There's a big $10 word called propitiation. You'll find that in Romans 3:25. It says, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, watch it, through faith in his blood. That propitiation means that God's wrath is appeased. God's wrath is satisfied through the blood. Through faith in his blood. When Jesus died on the cross, remember, he said, it is finished. And said, the Father shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. God said, that's enough. I'm satisfied. The debt has been paid, and my wrath has been appeased on the back of my own precious, lovely Son, Jesus Christ. My. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through the faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. It's because of the blood of Christ that I stand before God justified. Was it Job that asked, how can a man be just with God? Through the justifier, Jesus Christ. Regardless of what I've done, God sees the blood. The blood has been applied to my life, to my heart, to my soul. And I'm declared justified. My, what a merciful, loving God. Acts 13:39, and by him all that believe, watch it, are justified from all things. Whew. That's a good Gabbard thing. Whew. My mama did. Whew, boys. I mean, I'm justified. Whew. Man, I escaped something. I escaped hell because now I'm justified because Jesus Christ, the old biker buddy of mine, Bobby Asherman, that lived a wicked life. They said they kicked him out of the Hell's Angels because he was too crazy for them. I led him to the Lord. He got saved, and when he got baptized up here, he came out of the water, and he went, yay! Justified! Yeah. Woo! Man. Got a few shouts out here. Man, he knew what he had escaped. Thank God for his mercy. When he saw that simplicity of Christ, and even him, an old wicked biker, could come to God through faith and God would forgive him. Justified. It's only through the blood of Christ that we have redemption and forgiveness. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. It's only through that precious blood of Jesus Christ that we have peace with God. Peace with God. Colossians 1:20, and having made peace. You remember the old timers used to say, well, have you found peace with God? I do a song. I'll do that song today probably at the funeral. Peace in the valley. There will be peace in the valley for me someday. Having made peace with God. Watch it. Colossians 1:20. Through the blood of his cross. By him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. It's the blood of Christ that gives us that daily cleansing from sin and allows us to walk in fellowship with God. We can, if we sin, we confess our sins. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood, there it is again, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now listen, back there in the Old Testament, the children were of Israel were given a way to avoid the wrath of God. God would send here the death angel went to every household, and death would pass upon all the firstborn of every house in Egypt, and it didn't matter how religious those people were that were in that house. Isn't that amazing? It didn't matter how many good deeds those folks had done. It didn't matter how much they'd given to the poor. It didn't matter whether they had long hair or short skirts. It didn't matter if they had 14 tattoos, Botox, or a tummy tuck. It didn't matter. It didn't matter if they drove a Honda or rode a Harley. It didn't matter if they worked at the Thirsty Turtle or for the Archdiocese of Cincinnati. Unless the blood was applied, they had a problem. It didn't matter if they'd been sprinkled with a quart of holy water or drank a quart of Jack Daniels. It didn't matter. The blood had to be applied. Amen. Whoo, doggy. It didn't matter if they could sing, dance, or play the Star Spangled Banner on a harmonica. The blood had to be applied. When I see the blood, I will pass over. The only thing that mattered on this night, and the only thing that mattered, I said the only thing that mattered, and that kept back the wrath of God, was the application of the blood. Exodus 12:12, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. I'm sure there were many folks throughout the households in Egypt who believed they would be okay. Egyptians worshipped a lot of different gods. Many believed their goodness would prevent the wrath of God from falling upon them. There's many today who like that, who will do anything and everything, all kinds of religious stuff, and try to bypass the application of the blood. Folks out there handing out literature, living on the square, involved in every worthy cause in the community, and those are good works. But when it comes to that night when you pass into eternity, it takes the blood. All of our righteousnesses will not be remembered except for the blood. A lot of folks work hard. They do the best they can. But this night, that night in Egypt, none of those things mattered. That night in Egypt, those things were never brought up. That night in Egypt, all the religion went out the window. It didn't matter if you were a Seventh-day Adventist, a 33rd degree Mason, or a 12-step recovering addict. It didn't matter. The blood had to be applied. All the good intentions had no bearing. When that death angel passed through, all that mattered was the blood. If the blood had been applied. John 10:1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door of the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Jesus Christ is the door of the sheep. It takes his precious blood on the cross to save your soul and pay your sin debt. That lonely night long ago in Egypt, there was just one way to avoid death. Many thought their way was the right way. But the only thing that mattered on this night, the only thing that matters tonight, now, today, is the blood. Has the blood been applied to your life? Not your church membership, not your lodge work, your water baptism, your sacraments, your works of righteousness, your religious fervor. It don't matter. It takes the blood. Amen. Jesus said to him, I am the way. Jesus 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Luke 22:19, and he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you. Paul said this, 1 Corinthians 15:1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, here it is, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved. How? By the gospel, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, lest ye have believed in vain, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was and was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ that will save your soul, and that blood will be applied to your soul. Hebrews 9:24, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are figures of that which is true, but unto heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should suffer himself often as a high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then he must have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Has the blood been applied to your heart this morning, your life? That's all that's going to matter. That's what will get you to heaven. It says, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment, that same passage in Hebrews 9. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and to them that look for him shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Still takes the blood, folks. Our religious fervor, until that blood is applied, they won't do you any good. Once that blood has been applied, you should get in the battle. Get in the battle for the Lord. But a lot of folks, even after they get saved, they align themselves with the other troops. They'll hide themselves where the devil exploits all the worldliness around us and all the craziness around. They'll exploit your flesh and the lusts of it and the desires of it to keep you from serving the one who saved you. Has the blood been applied this morning? I'm done. If everyone would stand up. Won't you come into Christ? If you've never come to Christ, why don't you do that today? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible says repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ.
Just as I am.
Has the Spirit of God touched your heart this morning? Maybe you're there and you've been pretty religious. You've been a pretty good fella, pretty good a girl most of your life, but for some reason you don't have that peace. God can give you that peace this morning by simply admitting to God that you're a sinner. Father, forgive me in Jesus' name. The Bible says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Won't you come to him today? The altar's open. Maybe there's a burden on your heart. Thank God for the simplicity that is in Christ. Paul said, I fear lest any corrupt you from the simplicity that is in Christ. Want to go to heaven? Trust Jesus Christ. Get that blood applied to your soul.